We take note now of the end of an era in journalism. Jack Anderson has announced that he is giving up his column after more than 50 years. Mr. Anderson is 81 and suffering from Parkinson's disease. At the height of his career from the 1950s to the 70s, his was the most widely read column in the newspaper business. It reached nearly 40 million readers. He also appeared on Good Morning America and Mutual Radio. Jack Anderson has continued to churn out a daily column, published mostly in small town papers. In an interview with NPR in 1980, Mr. Anderson explained his journalistic method.
I discovered several years ago that politicians can't be trusted and that they distort the information that comes to them from the career people. And so I decided a long time ago that I should get my information from the same place the president does. That I should get it from the career people, the professionals, and that I should see what they tell him so that I can better gauge what he tells us.
Mark Feldstein is writing a biography of Jack Anderson. He's director of the journalism program at the George Washington University and joins us in our Washington studios. Welcome.
Thank you, Brian.
Anderson is remembered perhaps for being the last of the great muckrakers. I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about that journalistic tradition.
Well, sure. I mean, muckraking was a term that Teddy Roosevelt invented or coined nearly a century ago, 1906, and it wasn't a compliment in his lexicon. This referred to the new spate of dirt diggers, as he saw them at the turn of this last century, who were investigating and uncovering the abuses in the Industrial Revolution. And this was, at that point, a fairly new kind of wave of advocacy journalism. And it kind of trickled out after about World War I, but was resurrected by Jack Anderson and his predecessor, Drew Pearson, when they began the Washington Merry-Go-Round column.
Now, Anderson began as a researcher for Drew Pearson?
That's right. Pearson started the column in 1932 when he kind of performed a Joe Klein-type event of his time by writing an anonymous book called The Washington Merry-Go-Round. And his newspaper, the Baltimore Sun, discovered it and fired him for it.
Why did they fire him? Wouldn't that be sort of the thing that they would welcome?
Well, no, because he was dishing dirt in the book in a way that was considered unseemly in the sort of 1920s and 30s era. So Pearson decided he was out of a job, he had to do something, and he scrambled and he started his own column. And he really kind of reinvented muckraking, if you will, in this era when most of the journalists at the time were very conservative, Republican, establishment organs. And he was dishing dirt about some of the powers that be here in Washington.
So Anderson went to work for Drew Pearson and began dishing his own dirt, I guess, in a sense.
That's right.
Give us some examples of some of the stories that he broke or that were featured in his column.
Well, let's see. One of his early ones was about the Congressman Parnell, the chairman of the House Un-American Activities Committee, which after World War II was a very important committee. Richard Nixon rose to fame on it. Well, Jack Anderson discovered that the congressman's secretary was secretly in love with him and wasn't too happy to discover that this congressman was also having an affair with one of the young secretaries. She had been there a while. And so Anderson and Pearson did what they did best. They sort of, fed the grievances and idealism, call it what you will, of the disgruntled staff members and got him to turn over evidence about all kinds of financial impropriety that led the guy to be convicted and sentenced to prison.
Just the first of many columns that led to officials' embarrassment, if not loss of their livelihoods.
Embarrassment, a loss of reelection, prison, suicide, you name it, they did it. And they had Congress scared stiff. In 1966, Anderson, perhaps most famously, got a group of employees who worked for Senator Tom Dodd, the father now of Senator Chris Dodd, also of Connecticut. And for about a year, they copied virtually everything in the senator's files. A year later, Anderson began the first of what would become an entire year's worth of columns about corruption by Senator Dodd that led him to be censured and humiliated and defeated for reelection.
And led to a Pulitzer for Anderson?
No, he didn't get the Pulitzer then, and Pearson never got the Pulitzer. They were looked down upon in the sort of more snobbish circles of Washington journalism.
But Anderson did eventually win the Pulitzer, right?
Anderson eventually won the Pulitzer and achieved some measure of respectability in the early 1970s. His story, 1971, that won the Pulitzer, was based on top-secret Pentagon papers that were leaked to him about how the U.S., the Nixon administration, Henry Kissinger was his security aide, was secretly tilting toward Pakistan and its war with India, even while Kissinger was telling Congress and the public that we were neutral.
Now, during the Nixon administration, Anderson was the target of a mafia-style assassination plot. Tell us about that.
Well, it's pretty wild, but it's true. The CIA started spying on Anderson under Nixon, which was illegal, and Anderson's found out about it, and he sicked his nine kids. He's a devout Mormon and has nine children on the CIA agents, and they waved and let the air out of the tires of the agents and made sport of it all. So everything Nixon tried, didn't seem to work. And finally, he turned to smearing him sexually and an assassination plot.
Now, what did the assassination plot involve? I mean, was this something that Nixon was directly involved with?
We don't know. Here's what we do know, and it's been really interesting. I've been going through the National Archives documents on this and the White House tapes. We do know that E. Howard Hunt and G. Gordon Liddy, two names that would become famous a few weeks later during the Watergate break-in when they were arrested as part of that, secretly met at the Hay Adams Hotel in March of 1972, a block from the White House, and they discussed rubbing out Jack Anderson. And they discussed various ways they were going to kill him. First, they talked about putting LSD in his drink. The trouble was, as a Mormon and a teetotaler, he didn't drink alcohol, so that was out. So then they talked about making him crash in an automobile accident, but they would have to go to the CIA and use a special car for that. So finally, G. Gordon Liddy volunteered to kill Anderson himself personally by knifing him, slitting his throat, and staging it as a mugging that would look like a Washington street crime. At the last minute, this assassination plot was aborted, and a few weeks later, the men were arrested in the Watergate break-in and never had a chance to put their plan into operation.
And did Anderson ever find out about this himself?
Anderson only found out about it a year after Nixon resigned when Bob Woodward of the Washington Post broke it. But he was very proud of this event and printed up T-shirts that says, Jack Anderson lives.
Mark Feldstein is director of the journalism program at the George Washington University in Washington and is working on a biography of Jack Anderson. Thanks, Mark, for coming in.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you, Brian.